Okay, Liz, here's some quick math. The less your business spends on operations, multiple systems, delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs, you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems, and you improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors.
Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Hollywood. NetSuite.com/Hollywood. NetSuite.com/Hollywood.
So I've been reading The Creative Act, that Rick Rubin book that everyone was talking about at the Johnny Cash retreat. It's so good.
Oh, I need to read it.
I'm underlining all the good writing quotes for our newsletter.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I have to get the paper copy, not listen.
Yes.
Hi, and welcome to Happier in Hollywood, the podcast about how to be happier, healthier, saner, more creative, more successful, and more productive in a backbiting, superficial, chaotic, unpredictable, fundamentally insane world. I'm Liz Kraft, a TV writer and producer living in LA, and with me is my high school friend and writing partner, Sarah.
That's me, Sarah Fain. On this podcast, we talk about being writers in Hollywood, how we balance a career and friendship, and how to survive the war of attrition that is life in Los Angeles.
This is our first episode of 2024. Happy
Amazing.
New Year.
Happy New Year.
And today we're going to talk about our 2024 goals as a team and individually. Then Sarah has a kitchen hack and a Hollywood podcast recommendation.
Yes, but first, Liz, we have an update. One of the items on your 23 for 23 list was to throw away old gross t-shirts, which is hilarious. So take it from here.
Okay. Well, spoiler alert, I didn't do it. I couldn't get myself to throw away those old gross t-shirts. And I've been talking about this, I think maybe on an episode of Happier, I was discussing this. And we got this letter from Christy, who had a suggestion about what to do. She said, "Hi, Liz. I had a similar block with throwing away clothes that were too shabby to donate. It was sad to think of them in a dump somewhere surrounded by potato peels and candy wrappers after their faithful service. Then I heard about 4 Days. It is a clothing company that sends you a bag to put in any clothes or products made of cloth that you wish to recycle. The bag costs $20, but when they get your clothes to recycle, they credit you $20 in their store. I sent in 2 bags before my move last year and just used the credit to buy a dress. Happy recycling." Well, Sarah, I think somebody else has mentioned this or something like this, And it's such a good idea. So I'm so glad that Christy reminded me about it. And I want to do this because I think, yeah, if I have a bag to fill, then I'll be motivated to want to fill it.
Yes, absolutely. And it's good timing for me, too, because I'm going through a bit of a clothing purge. So,
oh, good. Okay.
I will do it as well. Thank you, Christy.
Yes. 4 Days, it's called. Okay, Sarah, it is time for From the Treadmill Desk Of, in which we discuss what's happening in our work lives. And given that it is the beginning of 2024, you and I have been talking about our goals, our team goals for 2024. We announced our team motto for 2024, which is "Hear Us Roar 2024.
Yes, and our symbol is the lion.
Yes, and now we're going to talk about what we want to do while we're roaring out there in 2024.
This is our roaring roadmap.
Oh, I like it. Our roaring roadmap.
Okay, here we go. So the first thing, of course, is finish our book and get it published.
Or at least sold.
Or at least sold. Okay, yes.
Because it finish can take time and sold. To get it published. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. And Sarah, we are so happy to say that we have indeed finished our first draft of the book. We have a beginning, a middle, and an end, and a whole lot of ideas about all the changes we need to make.
Yes, you said you were going to come up and go for a hike and we were going to finish, and that happened.
Yes.
We did it. We did not just say it. You showed up right in front of my house. We hiked, and then we went to Zadie's, our favorite little Ojai spot, and finished the book because we said we weren't going to actually finish writing it all out. We were just going to finish the break of the last bit because so much has changed. It would just be impossible. But now we know that's what's going to happen. We have it all planned out in great detail. So this next draft, Liz, that's where we are.
Yes, we're ready for our second draft, which is going to be so different from the first draft. And I think a big step forward.
Big step forward. That's my favorite. When you have like a second draft, that's a big step forward. It's just, I don't know. That always feels so good.
Yes, it's going to feel great. But it's a lot of work. It's almost as much work as doing the first draft, I think.
I agree, but I think it'll be more fun.
Yes.
I think we have like a better handle on everything.
Yes, and I love rewriting way more than writing.
Yes.
Okay, Sarah, our next goal, this is our goal every year as a TV writing team, is to get a show on the air.
Yes, even years that we have a show on the air, we'd like to get another show on the air. Yes. There's no year where we don't want to get a show on the air.
Yes.
So,
yes.
This is evergreen.
That's right. And then, Sarah, we have a podcast goal.
Yes, we do. We really want to grow the podcast this year. We've talked about how Laura, who is one of the co-hosts of the Big Fat Positive podcast, is redoing our website, and she's hard at work. We're going to have a new retreats page, which is very exciting about all of our upcoming retreat plans. And we are also, this is going to happen, Liz, we have it all worked out. We're going to start a newsletter, finally. This has been in the works. I mean, we've been talking about this for years.
Yes, we were going to do one, but and then the pandemic happened and we just got completely derailed and we didn't go back to it. And now we are ready. We're going to have a weekly newsletter and we're super excited about it. We're just ready to put in more of ourselves and our time into the podcast.
Yes. So hopefully we can have a meetup. Remember, right before the pandemic, we had a meetup planned.
Yes, we did.
On, I think it was March 22nd, and March 13th was like the day everything changed. So we didn't, but we should do that this year. That would be so fun.
Yes, we have an amazing community around the podcast, and we want to grow that. To that end, Sarah, while we're having this conversation, I will throw out there, if you're listening to this and you have a friend who you think would enjoy Happier in Hollywood, please send them a link to an episode you think they would enjoy. That is how most people find podcasts, is because their friends recommend them. I mean, that's how I find podcasts. I go on a hike. Somebody says, oh, I just listened to XYZ. You should listen. I go home and I listen. So it works.
If everyone listening right now does that, we'll grow the podcast by 100% in a day. There we go. And then, Liz, very important, we want to do at least one Happier in Hollywood retreat. The last retreat was so fun, and we were so inspired. We really want to do more.
Yes, and we want to do different kinds of retreats. We talked about this in an episode, maybe a one-day writer's room intensive at my house. Do another weekend in Ojai retreat, either the same sort of subject matter as what we did last time, or maybe something slightly different. So we just love it. It feeds our souls and we want to do more. So that's a lot for 1 year.
It's a lot, but you know, I think we can do it.
Yeah, we are. I mean, we're the lionesses out here running around.
And roaring.
And roaring. Well, I am dying to hear what other people have as their work goals. Whether you're a writer in Hollywood or somebody who owns a knitting store in Minneapolis, whatever you're doing, we want to hear what your goals are. It's just fascinating.
If you own a knitting store in Minneapolis, please be in touch.
Yes.
I'll come the next time I'm there.
Sarah, I thought of that because I know you were bemoaning that the knitting store in Ojai is no longer there. So
yes.
I was willing a Minneapolis knitting store for you.
I love it. Thank you.
All right. And we both have our personal goals as well. So coming up, we talk about our personal goals for 2024. But first, this break.
Okay, Liz, it's time for Take a Hike, where we talk about physical, spiritual, and mental health. This time, I guess it's kind of all of the above. It's our goals for 2024, large and small. I have the overall goal of doing the Happiness Project Revisited that Gretchen is doing. She's doing a course of the original Happiness Project book, but updated. It's audio. There's a playbook. It's like, I am going to be all in on that all year.
Yes. And then we really wanted to have specific health goals this year, both of us. You took a big step in that direction. I don't know if we've talked about it yet on the podcast. Your purchase of, I mean, I almost think of it as your new baby.
I agreed. I think we did talk about it, but if you missed it, I bought a Pilates reformer. Pilates is my very favorite form of exercise. It just brings me joy doing it. I love the jump board. So a friend of ours posted that they were selling their reformer that they got in the pandemic. She was like, I never used it. You saw it. You told me about it. And I mean, I was just like, I got to get this. I thought about it for a day because it's a big piece of equipment and they're not inexpensive.
Yeah.
But I did it and I'm so glad I did. I love it so much.
Yeah. And I was at your house the other day, as you mentioned. And so I got to see it in person and it really was gorgeous and brand new. I mean, clearly she decided she wasn't a Pilates person. So it is as if you just got a brand new reformer.
Yes. And I mean, every time I look at it, it brings me joy. And Violet's using it. So my goal for 2024 is to use the reformer 150 times.
Yes, which is about 3 days a week.
Yes. And so far, I've been doing it. So, I mean, we're only 1 week into yes. January, but less than.
Yes. And of course, then if you're out of town for a week, you'll have to make it up.
I know.
Times. That's why I think it is good to set a number as opposed to saying 3 times per week. I don't know. There's something about ticking off a number that I find very motivating.
No, I'm very excited to be making all the check marks. And yeah, so that's mine. Liz, what about you?
So mine is, you'll remember in 2023, I had the Fryman 50, where I was going to do Fryman Canyon 50 times, which I then upped to 100, which I completed.
Woohoo!
So this year, I want to try something different. And so my goal is to do, so I have a goal, there's a caveat to my goal.
Okay.
So my goal is to do Orange Theory 50 times.
Nice.
Now, I have to tell you, Sarah, I have not yet tried Orange Theory. So I'm going to do that. That's next on my list. I'm going to make sure I like it.
Yes.
And assuming I like it, my goal is to do it 50 times. Orange Theory, for anyone who doesn't know, is like a fitness class. I love fitness classes. Like after college, in my 20s, I would work and then I would go to a fitness class and then walk home. And I loved it. And I haven't done fitness classes for, I mean, probably 15 years. So I really want to get back into it. If it turns out I don't love Orange Theory, then I will choose something else. So whether it be a bar method or just Fryman Canyon again. But I'm going to do something. Start with 50. I like to start with 50 because that feels eminently doable. And then if I'm on a good path, I will up it later.
Okay. This is very exciting. I can't wait to hear about Orange Theory. I cannot stand fitness classes, so I will enjoy it vicariously.
Sarah, can I tell you my secret to fitness classes?
Yes, please.
Okay. This is for everybody. I have never been in a fitness class my entire life where I was not the worst person in the class, okay? It doesn't matter if I go 3 days a week for a year, I am still the worst person in the class. I accept that. I don't let that bother me. Sometimes I'll go up to the teacher and just say, hey, just so you know, I'll be the worst person in the class. I'll be over there in the corner. And I just have decided that's fine, and I don't care. It releases me from pressure about in fitness classes, if you see what I'm saying.
Yes. And what is it that you like about it? Is it the sense of community?
Yes. I love, well, one, I'm an obliger, and like having signed up, I show up.
Yes.
I love the sense of community. I love going, being with people, having that feeling at the end when you're laying on the floor, you know, stretching, and you feel so good. I just love a fitness class. I do not want to put in a tape and do it at home or any of that. That is not me. I want to drive somewhere. I want to do a class, and then I want to drive home and feel good about it.
Okay, Liz, I just have to say, when you said you don't want to put in a tape, I had a flashback to the two of us in that house
we rented. Oh, my gosh.
In Tai-bo. Santa Monica on the beach doing Tai-bo tapes. Oh, my God.
Yes, we used to do Tai-bo tapes. If you don't know what we're talking about, look it up.
Yes.
Yes, Sarah, I want to go be with other humans and exercise. So we'll be reporting in on this all year, of course, keeping each other accountable for our goals. And once again, I want to hear what everybody else's goals are for health. I think it does really make a difference if you state it and tell people about it and start down that road.
Absolutely. Okay, Liz, now we have our mailroom segment where we answer a listener question. And today we have a question from Leslie, who says, I'm not in television, I'm in healthcare. And what exactly do you mean when you say breaking an act or breaking a scene? You mentioned this when you were talking about your book.
Well, that is a good question for people who don't know the lingo of television and movie writing. Breaking basically just means figuring out. It's another word for figuring out.
It's very deep.
Yeah.
Figure it out. And I wonder why it's called breaking. I mean, maybe because it's so damn hard and, you know, you feel like you're cracking something open every time you actually get an idea that works.
Yeah, or breaking the back of something, you know, it's like getting in there and manipulating and figuring out. But yeah, so when we say breaking a scene or breaking an act or breaking a book, we just mean, we'll say, okay, well, this character is doing this, and then, oh, we can have this twist, and it can be general, like, oh, and then somebody dies, or it can be very specific. So when we're breaking a scene, it's like this person comes in, they have this kind of exchange, this conflict arises, and then this person leaves, and we can even have a line of dialogue. So breaking really can mean minutiae or very, very big picture.
Yes. And I was thinking about the sort of three-act structure where you start with breaking one act, which leads to some twist at the end of the first act, and then that builds and conflict grows, and then you have the big climax, and then the third act, denouement. And it's sort of course, in TV, it's not three acts. It's four or five or six because it's run by corporations who want advertising money, but, you know, they don't care about story. And it turns out that, in fact, a three-act structure is much better than a six-act structure. So you kind of break it into the bigger bits first and then the smaller bits as you move through.
Yeah, and I think one thing that surprises people who aren't TV writers when they learn about it is that breaking story is the biggest part of the job, probably. We actually spend way more time in the room breaking story than we do writing.
Yes, and when you're a writer, you will be involved in breaking every single episode, but you will only write, depending on how many episodes are in the season of TV that you're working on, you'll only write one or two episodes, but you will be in there breaking every single one for the most part.
Yes, and it's funny because when we rewrite scripts, a lot of times we'll go in and what we call re-break. So usually you read a script and if it's not working, often it means you have to re-break something. So one storyline or an act, whatever is not working, you got to get in there and we call it going back to the whiteboard. It's like, okay, we have to go back to the whiteboard on this. We need to put it up and start moving things around. And then we rewrite.
Yes, and you very seldom start over, but lots of things shift and change in the re-break.
Yes, and when we have a script, whether it be ours or someone else's, where we don't need to re-break, we just can go through and do a polish, I mean, that's when we are so happy.
Oh, it's the best. That is truly the best thing that can happen as a showrunner, is like getting a script that doesn't need to be rebroken. Oh.
It really, yes. And usually it has nothing to do with the writer's abilities. It's just something went wrong in the break. And the thing is, a lot of times until you write something, you can't tell what needs to change. And that is what we were saying about our book as well.
Yeah.
We needed to write the first draft to really get in there and figure out what we need to re-break in the book. And we're in that process now.
Yes, we are.
So thank you, Leslie. Great question.
Coming up, I have a food-related Hollywood hack, but first, this break.
Okay, Sarah, we are back with our Hollywood hack, and you've got a refrigerator hack.
I do. You know, I'm a big fan of refrigerator hacks lately, but I'm particularly excited about this one, which is Ambrosia linen refrigerator bags. Okay. So I talked a while ago about the holiday fair that Violet and I went to, and we found all these wonderful things. And one of the things I bought were these Ambrosia linen refrigerator bags. And I did not talk about them because I was like, I just want to see if they work. I want to know if they're a real thing or not. And they are a real thing, and I love them so much. Okay, these are these really lovely linen bags that are for your perishables in the refrigerator. Mm. They have a bag for greens, for vegetables, for berries, and for mushrooms. And I have to tell you, as someone who has berries all the time in my refrigerator, I mean, the berries are actually not turning moldy for the first time ever. And my greens, you know, I'm also doing a lot of salads. You put salad greens in there, they stay fresh. It's like, I absolutely love these bags. And best of all, it's an Ojai company.
Yes.
Founded in Ojai by a woman in 2015. I met her son at the fair. Couldn't have been nicer. They're still made in Southern California. So please, please get some wonderful Ambrosia linen refrigerator bags. We'll put a link in the show notes.
I have never heard of such a thing, but that is great because I am with you. I feel like I buy strawberries and the next day they're no good. They just do not last.
And they also look pretty in your fridge.
Yes, nice. All right.
Yeah.
You know, Sarah, you're just teaching us all sorts of things.
Everyone's food will be fresher after this.
Finally, Sarah, you have a recommendation this week. Every week we recommend something, whether it be podcast, book, movie, just something we love, and you have a podcast recommendation.
Yes, and I feel a little bad that we haven't recommended this already. As a Hollywood podcast ourselves, I have to recommend the Ankler podcast. The Ankler team and industry insiders break down Hollywood's latest business headlines, power struggles, and trends shaping the future of entertainment. And for those who don't know, The Ankler is a newsletter from veteran reporter Richard Rushfield. You have to pay for the newsletter, and it's totally worth it, by the way. But you don't have to pay for the podcast. It's totally available. It's very interesting. Takes deep dives into different elements of the business. Definitely worth listening to.
Okay, so that's The Ankler podcast. Learn about Hollywood. And that is it for this episode of Happier in Hollywood. We love hearing from you. Email us or send us a voice memo to happierinhollywood@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and please follow us if you haven't already.
Thanks to our executive producer, Chuck Reed, and thanks to everyone at Sankola Sound. You can follow them on Instagram at Sankola Sound.
Thanks to everyone at Cadence 13, and as always, thank you to Gretchen Rubin. Happier in Hollywood is part of the Onward Project.
Listen to the other Onward Project podcasts, Happier with Gretchen Rubin and Side Hustle School.
Get in touch. I'm on Instagram and Threads at Liz Craft, and Sarah is at Fane. We also have a Facebook group. Search for Happier in Hollywood on Facebook to join the conversation.
Until next week, I'm Sarah Fane.
And I'm Liz Craft. Thanks for joining us. It's a fun job.
And we enjoy it. Liz, every time we do our sign off, I still think of the letter we got from the woman who said her child was so confused because they were like, are their names not going to be Liz Craft and Sarah Faye next week?
Until next week.
I think of it every single time.
Oh, that is funny. Now I will too.
Yes, so cute.
From the Onward Project.